Almighty God, we thank and praise you again for the privilege of prayer. And as millions of Americans who have set this day aside to worship you and to pray, cry out to you, we cry on behalf of our nation for renewal, for revival. We recognize, Father, from your scripture that you were the one that said to Solomon, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would forgive us of our sin and heal our land. Father, we pray today that Americans and people around the world would humble ourselves and pray like never before. That we would in fact be a humble people, that we would in fact be a repentant people, that we would repent on behalf of ourselves, our family, our churches, and our nation. We pray, O God, that you would forgive us of our sin and heal our land. Father, we need you. We desperately do. And so forgive us for the times and the conversations around the globe, from the White House to the church house and everywhere in between, where we have forgotten you, where we have neglected you, where we have neglected to look at your word, where we have neglected to allow it to lead us instead of our own desires and wants and ambitions. Forgive us, Father, in America for our pride. May we do just like you said, O God, when you spoke to Solomon, humble ourselves and pray. We humble ourselves today before you, Almighty God. You are God and we are not. Forgive us for putting ourselves on a pedestal and worshiping at the altar of self in America. It has become very easy to do. Forgive us for that, O God. Father, we pray for salvations, for people to be genuinely born again, not just to say, I'm a Christian, because I've always been a Christian, but to encounter Christ, to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and to be transformed, to be walking passionately after Jesus, to be salt and light. Father God, may it be so in our churches, may it be so outside of our churches, may the people of the church who make up the body of believers in Jesus Christ, may we be salt and light to a world that hurts, is lost, and is dying. May we, Father, walk as Jesus walked, to be the hope, to be their hope. May you guide us, Father, back to you. May you fill us with your Spirit so we live for you Monday through Saturday as well as on Sunday morning. Glorify your name in America, O God. Glorify your name in the church. Glorify your name across the globe, Father, we pray. Glorify your name right here. We do lift up those on the prayer focus, Father, as we have hundreds of times, and say and pray, Thy will be done. We pray and say, Father, that as Jesus taught us to pray, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. We pray that for us today. We pray that for those on our prayer focus today. We pray that for this community, our communities, this nation, and this globe today, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. Glorify your name amongst us, O God. Encourage, strengthen, forgive, redeem, save us, O Lord. Guide us as we look at Scripture now, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, continuing our journey in Proverbs a little bit. Be in chapter 5 and 6 just a little bit this week and next. I want to talk about the peril of adultery today. And you might say, well, Jim, you're speaking to the choir. Praise the Lord, speaking to the choir. But I'm going to speak from Proverbs 5 and 6, talking about the peril of adultery anyway. I'm going to get right after it because our time is fleeting. Proverbs 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. We might say, why would we do that? The second verse answers that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Let me just say this, friends, about that first verse. This is what God's Word is saying to us today. Pay attention to the wisdom of the Word of God. Lend your ear to the understanding that is in the Word of God. These words of Solomon to his son a long time ago is the Word of God to us today. Pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to the wisdom there. Give ear to the understanding of the Word of God. Why? So that we may preserve discretion and our lips may keep knowledge. And then he goes into this topic, guiding, directing his sons. And he says this, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house, Solomon said. Verse 15. Speaking again to his sons, drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. This is almost like a parable, isn't it? He's speaking in earthly context, but it has a very deep meaning. Drink water from your own cistern, my sons. Doesn't mean just draw water physically from your well. It means quite literally, Solomon is counseling his sons to find all of their sexual satisfaction in their own wife in pure, marital, married love. That's what he's counseling here. Drink water from your own cistern means find your delight in your own wife. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Verse 32, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away, Solomon says. Friends, I don't have to tell you that sex and sexual intimacy and sexual innuendos and everything else are talked about all the time today. But typically in the wrong way. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean that if you're watching TV and reading steamy novels and looking at magazines and internet and movies to get your portrayal of sexual intimacy, you're looking at the wrong source. That TV portrayal of sex and internet and movies and movie stars and magazines portrays sex and sexual intimacy in a very different light than the Word of God. So we have to decide. Does God's Word give the correct direction, counsel, and advice? Or does the internet and TV? Because they are not the same. Sexual intimacy, from God's standpoint, has not changed over the course of the thousands of years since He has created Adam and Eve. God's position on sexuality, one man, one woman, in the boundaries of marriage, has not changed. And so Solomon reminds his sons how dangerous it can be if you start to venture outside of the guidelines of God. In Solomon speaking to his sons about sexuality, it reminds us we too should speak to our children and our grandchildren about the issue of sexual intimacy and show from God's Word the correct ways of this topic. But it seems like in the 21st century, even in the 20th and perhaps earlier, we feel enlightened and we feel that perhaps we know better than God's Word on such matters, particularly of sexual intimacy. And so we have changed the meaning to allow sexual intimacy to mean anything and perhaps everything, any time and all the time. There are no longer any boundaries in sexuality, and we are teaching that to our children in some schools at a very young age. Did you know that Texas A&M University and Colorado University did studies, and they say that nearly 40% of men will commit adultery and have extramarital affairs in their lifetime? Nearly 40%. The same studies from Texas A&M University and Colorado University said 25% or more of women will too. People, somehow, we get this fantasy from books and TV and movies and such, and we think that playing the field is exciting or adventurous or perhaps even fun. But let me assure you, brothers and sisters, that sexual experimentation outside the boundaries of marriage will bring heartache and hurt and betrayal and health issues and harm, and a lifestyle continued in that way will bring physical and spiritual death, so says Paul in Galatians 5:19 through 21. You see, friends, God knew what was best when He did what He did and He said what He said about sexuality a long time ago. God knew what was best for human beings. And along comes the adversary of our souls, the enemy of our soul, who is a liar from the beginning. His native tongue, Jesus said, is to speak lies. Along comes the devil, convincing millions that God is holding out on you in this whole idea of sexuality. You should go for the gusto and go for all you can. So says the enemy of our souls. The devil is the one trying to confuse. When Solomon reminds his son, it might look good up front, but in the end it is death, it is destruction. For he said, the lips of an immoral woman, and it works both ways here, the lips of an immoral woman or an immoral man drip honey, and their mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end it will cost you. In the end, it is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Solomon knew what he was talking about sexuality. After the affair, after the fornication, after the same-sex affair, there is guilt and bitterness and pain. And as he said, bitter as wormwood. Husbands, listen, he said in verse 15. My sons, husbands, listen to me. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. I've already explained that to you, what that means. Solomon is counseling his sons to find all their sexual satisfaction in their own wife. I think I do not have to elaborate on what 16 says. It is very graphic and very direct. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? I don't think I need to explain that any further to you. I think you get that. Solomon challenges us to think about, can we play with fire and not get burned? The answer is no. We will get burned eventually when we play with fire. Can a man take fire in his own bosom and his clothes not get burned? The answer is no. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not get seared? The answer is no. And Solomon says, so is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. He is telling his sons, he is telling us, you play with fire, you will get burned. Or we could say it this way. You look at someone else's wife or husband or pornography, and you will not be innocent. I wonder sometimes, why are we in the church not teaching the ways of God more and having an expectation to be obedient to the Word of God? Why in the church today do we accept the status quo of society? When it clearly goes against the Word of God. Why are we allowing the ways of the world to squeeze us into its mold and disregarding the Word of God? I want you to know this morning there is forgiveness for whatever transgressions we have committed. Praise and glory to God for this forgiveness that He grants for our sins. But I want to tell us again, friends, grace is not a license to sin. To argue, well, where sin doth abound, grace doth abound more, is a scriptural verse taken out of context when we say, well, I'll just get forgiveness for my sin. God's grace is not a license for us to continue to sin. And so, people of God, I urge us today again from Scripture and more specifically from Proverbs 5 and 6, do not let the world mold you into its form. Do not worry about what the world is saying about sex and sexuality. The world is wrong. The Word of God is right. And we need to look to the Word of God for instructions on sex and sexual intimacy and sexuality. And we need to pass that on to our children. They're being bombarded with every kind of temptation in schools at the very earliest age. They're getting taught in some schools, I've just read this week, all the experimentation and all the other stuff being taught very early in some schools in some states about all the other stuff. We in the church need to teach our young people and perhaps reteach our older people what the Word of God says on this matter of sex and sexuality. There'll always be a voice whispering in your ear, you deserve something more. There'll always be the enemy's voice whispering, you want to be happy, don't you? There'll always be the enemy dangling some proverbial temptation in front of you. But if you want to be happier and satisfied and blessed, then I urge us to stay with the Word of God and not venture outside its direction. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we in the church would have an effective ministry to our people that spreads outside of the church in the ways of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, that just because culture says one thing, we in the church would not get caught up in society and cultural norms. I pray, Heavenly Father, we would use Your Word as our guide. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would instill in our young people, our children, and even people that didn't read the Word, how good Your Word is. And so, Father, thank You for forgiveness of sin when even the church has ventured outside of Your guidelines. Forgive us, O Lord, but help us to take seriously Your Word. Help us to live, as we sung about, holy lives. You have called Your people to be holy. The world isn't holy. Not that You wouldn't like it to be holy, but the world isn't holy. And so, Father, help us in the church not to be molded by the world, but to reflect the image of Jesus. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.